Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W., and I am a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 53, the third paragraph, starting with arrived at this point, through one paragraph ending, we did not like to lose our support. Today's readers are, we have Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Patty F. for the 12 Traditions, Amy B. for the Big Book section, Kara L. for the Vision for You, page 164, Vanessa G. for the Backup, and we have Chanel T. who will be welcoming our newcomers, and Leslie M. for announcements. And I really appreciate Team Thursday for all showing up today. The reference numbers, we've got share ID for Wednesday, July 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,657, 23657, and Thursday, today, July 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,660, 23660. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. Position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'd like to ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Donna, for your service. This is Rhonda R. in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R. Patty F., please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomously accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carries message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group that never endorsed, finance, or lend the outside name, the OA name, to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige varies from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, overeaters anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, or may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, overeaters anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. You need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we are resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 53, the third paragraph, starting with arrived at this point. Through one paragraph ending, we do not like to lose our support, and we'll have comments on that one paragraph. And I would like Tony B. to please read and share on that now.
Thank you, Donna. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out in welcome. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. Perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason that last mile, and we did not like to lose our support. Yeah, it's a great paragraph, and it sort of makes me look back to the one before. Arrived at this point, what point is this? It's a point at which I'm crushed. I've become a real compulsive overeater, and this crisis, I can't postpone it. I got to the point where I really was considering suicide, and I was thinking I'm going to have to be locked up. I was kind of looking for treatment centres or hospitals where I could be placed so that I could be out of harm's way. And it's that point that we all get to, not necessarily quite the same, but we all have this crisis point at which we realize that we can't do it. Roland Hazard had it in Jung's office, you know, and he'd had a year of psychotherapy, and he went out and drank again and came back to Jung and said, are there no exceptions? I mean, because the doctor said to him, look, there's no hope for you. I've never seen them recover. And he said, anyone recover that was, as bad as you are. And he said, are there no exceptions? Well, yes, Jung said, once in a while there are. And these are spiritual. This is a spiritual change, these displacements and rearrangements, and that's what we need. That's the only choice we have. God is everything or he's nothing. And then we can't duck it anymore. And I like this, the image of the bridge, you know, walking over. And what is it that reason is holding us back somehow, telling us, well, I remember for me, it was telling me I ought to be able to do it myself, telling me that this is not such a big thing. It's just food, for goodness sake, you know, come on, I can surely moderate and but still enjoy it sometimes, or maybe I've had a period of abstinence, so surely that's kind of enough, I can treat myself now. All of those things are reason kind of that I've been leaning on, but no, I have to lose that support, I have to let those things go and take that final leap of faith onto the shore of faith. And, you know, it's reaching out their hands. They're telling me that it's worked for them and it can work for me too. And with that, I'll share the time. Thanks for letting me share and look forward to hearing everybody.
Thank you, Tony B., for sharing on that section. Now is the time for your shares. And although we value your experience, we also ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please, on any of the vision meetings, please allow others to share. So please share your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from.
Carrie.
Larry G.
There's someone before Larry. Was it Carrie?
Carrie N. California.
Larry N. And California. Larry G. California. Thank you.
Dawn B.
Dawn B. Okay, well, let's start with these three. We have to start with Carrie Ann, then followed by Larry G and Don B. Everyone, please mute your phone except Carrie Ann. Please go ahead, Carrie.
Hi, it's Carrie Ann. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm so glad to be on the meeting. Yes, I arrived at the question of faith when I first was asked to read this book, and I just read it on my own, 5 pages at a time, and then I would email my sponsor. And it was my first experience with 12 steps, and I was surprised that the question of faith came up. And since then, I'm always surprised that this program is about the question of faith, about a spiritual experience, about that connection and approach that is necessary for me to have to recover from this condition that I have. And I am a person of reason. That made sense to me. I gave up on the God idea long ago. It sounded reasonable that I had a problem with food and I was obese, and I just told myself, well, of course it's reasonable. It makes sense that tomorrow I'll just be careful about what I ate. And I tried that over and over again and for decades, and I was baffled. So it didn't make sense. It was not reasonable what I was doing. So I paid attention to what people said and what to do, and I went about to the reasonable act of finding a power greater than myself, and I've done that, and I really appreciate that through the whole process, the friendly hands, let's see, what does it say about that? Well, the friendly hands that reached out, that's been really helpful to me. And actually, that's helpful to me every single day. I'm asked to make 3 outreach calls a day, and I'm just so surprised, especially that I can just call somebody and they're friendly and they are want to walk me through this process they've been through of finding that question of faith. So I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm exposed to what the solution is. And it ended up the reason didn't work because I just could never deal with it. I hear a lot about that process of moving from my head to my heart. And so I believe that that's part of what that step over the bridge means onto the new land is that I'm stepping into more of an experiential feeling to my recovery than just trying to figure it out and actually letting go of ever figuring it out. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Carrie N. in California. Next up, I have Larry G., followed by Don B. Go ahead, Larry. And please press star 1 to unmute.
Okay. There it is. The secret, okay. the secret button. Larry G., thank you so much for your service and welcome to the new people. You know, right now, this cat of mine is following me everywhere I go to get pets, and I'm powerless over this cat. I have used logic and reason to train this cat like a dog, and this cat has utterly defeated me. And so he has food. You know, I tried logic and reason for just about everything in my life. There is, I can use my brains as long as it's in alignment with the power of my understanding. But I'm powerless. I'm powerless over flour and sugar. I'm powerless over the obsession. I'm powerless over the mental twist. I'm powerless over volume. I'm powerless over unilaterally changing my food plan. I have no power of that. And I have seeked so many answers. And so food became my God. And how does that work for you? Those of you who have a problem, have an axe grind against God, don't let this stop you. There are Eastern religions out there that don't even mention the word God. Find something. I found something that works for me. I have the greatest sponsor in the world who's led me back to God. I have a plan of eating, which the best I can, I surrender to. And surrender is the key of the kingdom. Nothing happens until I surrender. I surrender to flour and sugar. I surrender to the obsession. I surrender to the queer mental twist. I surrender that I have an allergy to the body and an abnormal mind. And now I'm surrendering to volume, which I have been eating volume since I've been 6 years old. I had a father who wanted me to be big and strong and play sports. He got that, and I developed a taste for a lot of food. And it's a bitch, man. It is a bitch. And without God, I wouldn't have a chance. I'm no different than the alcoholic. Like the alcoholic that could no longer tolerate, can't tolerate booze, mind, body, body and mind can no longer tolerate. I can no longer tolerate sugar and flour. I can't tolerate volume. I can't tolerate hiding and lying about, you know, whether I'm on this planet of eating or not. My body and mind can't tolerate it. This, you know, it's the big book is making it easy for us at this point. We're not required to have any faith at this point. We're just required to possibly willing to believe. Belief is 50% there. And so we haven't got to the other steps where we begin to develop faith. Right now, all that's being asked from us is just open the door, Larry. Just crack the door open and just consider the possibility that that this God you have dedicated your life to, which is flour, sugar, greasy foods, snacks, you know, ooey gooey foods, salt, the obsession of volume, eating volume, not staying I'm disciplined. I can't seem to stay with a plan of eating until I have surrendered. Right. So anyway, God bless all of you today. May the force be with you, and I hope that I meet you someday on this path. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. Next up, I have Dawn B., and then we'll open the lines after Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. So, yes, arrived at this point where I am squarely confronted with the question of faith. This is a lovely paragraph, a beautiful paragraph before it as well. So what is the point that we are arrived at? That question that I come to in my heart of God is everything or God is nothing. What is my choice to be? So if God is everything or God is nothing, then that means, you know, it talks about in the big book that talks about higher power is infinite power and love. Infinite power, infinite love. So that means infinite power, infinite love is everything, or infinite power, infinite love is nothing. What is my choice to be? Am I going to continue to rely on my own abilities, on reason? Am I going to continue to rely on food to comfort me? Am I going to continue to look to that as my higher power? Or am I going to turn and look towards a power much greater than myself who can restore me to sanity? And this program is a beautiful, beautiful invitation to put down the food and to realize that that is absolutely a death sentence for me if I continue to hold on to that and try to get my ease and comfort, try to get all that I need from food. It will take me out. It will kill me. And then when I put down the food, I realize underneath that I'm trying to seek ease and comfort, trying to feel better by trying to control others and circumstances, trying to get life to be different than it is so that I can feel better. And that as well will kill me. It does not work. And this program has been a beautiful invitation for me to seek my ease and comfort from the only source that truly satisfies. And that is the power much greater than me, who is infinite love. So if God is everything or God is nothing, that means infinite love is everything or infinite love is nothing. So that means infinite love must be working even in this. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing when I think that regardless of what's going on, I can just close my eyes to my perspective and I can ask for God's perspective, God's vision, ask to see things more like God sees them. Ask to see the situation more like God sees it. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. When I reach out, not relying on controlling, but relying on a power that loves working even in this to bring about my higher learning and growth. And so I abandon myself utterly to this higher power. And I say, God, whatever your will is, even if it's the last thing that I want, if this is your will, God, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be my only goal. Help me to see the situation more like you see it. Help me to love this person as you would delight in me loving them, God. May your will be my only goal. May your will be done, not mine. And I trust that God is working, infinite love is working even in this. And it's a beautiful way of life. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dawn B. So just a quick reminder, we're on page 53, the third paragraph, starting with arrived at this point and finishing with we do not like to lose our support. And I'm open for more people who want to share.
Ann B., New Hampshire.
I'm sorry, what was your first name?
Ann.
Ann B., New Hampshire.
RCA from Washington.
RCA, Washington. This is a great day to share if you haven't shared before. They have friendly hands stretching out and welcome here today.
Sigrid F.
What was your first name?
Sharon K.
Is it Sigrid S?
Yeah,
Measle
S.
F, right. California.
And who's calling in California?
Measle F.
Can you spell that?
L-I-E-S-L and then F.
Okay, great. Yes, and that was California. And was it John K before? Okay, well, we'll pause there then. And I have Ann B followed by Darcy A, Sigrid S, I think it was John K, and Liesl F. So if everyone, please mute your phone and we'll start with Ann B.
Hi, this is Ann. I'm in traveling in New Hampshire, normally from New York. You know, I, like most of you, do for most things prefer the big book, although I think there is something really valuable here that's in the OA 12 and 12, which says we have to put aside theological questions. And for me, the issue of whether God exists or not is a theological question. And I know that prayer and meditation, I've been abstinent for 21 years. I know that prayer and meditation help me stop compulsively overeating. Whether that comes from an external God or whether that's an interesting neurological phenomenon inside my body is a theological question. I don't need to know that. All I need to know is that it works, that prayer and meditation are an important behavior modification technique that work for me, and they have worked for 21 years. And this business of what is God? Does God care about me? Does God care if I stop eating? I mean, I personally believe God does care that I don't eat more than my right share of food in the world, because I believe that that's unfair to the people who don't have enough food. But it doesn't really matter whether there's a God or whether God cares or all that. All that it matters is that it's an effective behavior modification technique. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. from New York. Darcy A., please go ahead, followed by Sigrid S.
Hi, this is Darcy A., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Washington State. Very glad to be here. Thank you for your service and welcome to everybody that's new. I was thinking about the bridge of reason and the shore of faith. And the bridge of reason for me is like being in self-will and self-reliance versus God's will and reliance on God. And yeah, it's just a huge difference for me when I'm thinking of me trying to run the show versus turning it over and letting go and letting God. And when I'm in self-will, I'm, you know, actively bulimic, you know, morbidly obese. I'm a 100-pounder. And or just a normal body weight, but still completely obsessed with food. And or underweight, or I've just run the gamut with this disease through the years. And I realized I just went to a meeting on the 12 steps, or on the 12th step. And I realized sitting in that meeting that I've been two-stepping for years, that I was just doing, you know, working with others, but, and admitting I was powerless over food and my life was unmanageable, but neglecting all the rest of the steps for years. And I would relapse. I would get a couple of years and then I would relapse. And I never really surrendered and turned it over completely to God. And when I came to a vision for you a few months ago and worked the steps again, I feel like, you know, I'm having so many promises coming true, you know, like the gifts of this program, like I feel like I'm less selfish. I have more of a desire to be of service. It's not like, oh, I need to do this. It's like, I want to do this. And I want to take the right actions in life. And I feel less selfish. And I also feel less self-centered here and less afraid in my daily life and anxious. You know, it's just and those are just byproducts of, I guess, right living. I don't know. I'm getting these gifts and I'm so grateful, you know. And bottom line is the food obsession has been lifted. And that's a miracle. You know, for me, a food addict to my degree, you know, I'm suicidally depressed when I'm in the food. I'm just completely, I can't function. I couldn't have supported myself. I mean, I'm just really, really low bottom with this disease when I'm in the food. And that's been lifted. You know, I'm not in that that state anymore. I'm so grateful for today. And for anybody that's struggling, you know, there is hope. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy A. in Washington State. Sigrid S. is next, followed by John K. And Sigrid, please share where you're calling from.
Hi, everybody. This is Sigrid F., like Frank. And I'm usually in North Carolina. F., like Frank.
Thank you.
I'm usually in North Carolina, but I am in Colorado today. And, yeah, the part that really struck me was the bridge of reason to the shore of faith. And that, you know, the bridge of reason, I've been in program 12 and a half years. I've had fabulous recovery, but somehow under a lot of duress and conditions of life, I started thinking, well, you know, I don't really need to do my 11 step anymore at night. And, well, you know, I don't really need to listen to meetings every day. And, you know, slowly but surely, I started giving up things, and my reasonable brain, because I'd been doing it forever, right? And it was fine. Everything was good. So why, you know, why shouldn't I be able to stop? That's reasonable. But unfortunately, it wasn't, and I found myself back in the food. And within a week, in May, I was back to where I was 12 and a half years ago, thinking, well, I hate the way I feel, and maybe I just don't want to be here anymore. And I knew there's a better way. You know, I know there's a better way. So there's proof, right? There's proof in all the people around me who are recovered who say, hey, this is what I do. Do what I do. They have my malady. So is it reasonable? Well, I guess for, and you know, the dubious luxury of normal men, right? I guess it's reasonable. But for me, it's not. And I feel like the only, literally the only way for me to recover is holding the hand of a higher power of some sort. I don't need to understand it. I just need to give it away to whatever that is, surrender to whatever it is. I don't need to know. My human brain is too small to understand it. It doesn't need to know. What I need to know is it's got to be a still small voice within, and the quiet, persistent love of the universe. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Sigrid S. in North Carolina. John K., please share next, followed by Liesl F. All right, did we have a John K. or something, some similar name? Okay, well, please jump in let me know if you wanted to share. Liesl F. From California, please go ahead.
Hi guys, it's Liesl, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The bridge to the other side, I feel like that bridge was presented to me when I fell to my knees and I just wanted God. I didn't know anything about program. I knew that I needed God to heal me. And throughout my recovery, so I came in for my sanity. And then somehow, through my disease, I got wrapped up in my vanity. And so I pray for that willingness to return to just that light of love and sanity, because that's, like, where it's at for me. I love it when God's in control. And so I just pray to be of maximum service to God and to do His will and just keep handing it over. And God's decision, where I end up, what size I am, it's none of my business. And just to continue to recover. And throughout my journey, I've noticed this number crunching game that I've started and this exercise routine that I've started. If I exercise more, I get to eat more, blah, blah, blah. Well, so I just pray for God to help me with that too. And I know He will. And it's in that honesty that I'm starting to see that crop up. And I'm grateful that I have a place to come. And I set aside my desire to be perfect. And I just keep praying for the willingness to receive love, because I think that that's what I have a hunger for in the end anyways, is love. And you know what? As I'm doing more mirror work, which thanks to God, my previous sponsor talked about, and I didn't know what she was saying, but I started doing my prayers and like looking myself square in the eye in the mirror, and I started to see this light in my eye. And then like the next day, it's like this white circle in my eye. And in Chinese medicine, it's called like the sheen, I believe, and it all makes sense to me now anyways. And now, when I speak to people, I really seek to look at them in the eye. And it's a lost art. Not everyone can do it. Quite frankly, folks are afraid to do it. But animals will let you look at them in the eye. And it's so fulfilling. So that's recovery. And I know that that's about, like, receiving love and being seen. And, you know, I have this prayer, too. Like, let them see me. I have a fear of other people watching me eat, but recently I say, let them see me, because there's nothing wrong with eating. It's God, that's how we fuel ourselves. So anyway, I'm going on, but the bridge to the other side is God. I got there through being crumbled to my knees, and I look forward to seeing other people today and them seeing me, and I'll pass. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you, Liesl F. in California. Okay, so we are on page 53, the third paragraph, starting with arrived at this point, finishing with lose our support. I think I have time. Let's start with three people. So who would like to share?
Jaren K.
B. Yeah. What, was it Jaren K?
Jaren K, A-R-E-N-K from New York.
Okay. Kelly
Kate
D.
F.
Billy D, I heard. And somebody F.
Kelly B.
D. And where are you calling from,
F?
Kelly?
New York.
And somebody F?
Kate F is in Frank.
Great. And where are you calling from, Kate?
Washington.
Okay, so Jaren K, Kelly V, and Kate F. And I may not have your names perfect, but I'm sure you do. So please go ahead, Jaren K from New York. Is it Jaren K? Please go ahead. You need to press star one.
Hi, this is Karen Kay from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. I love the big book. I love how it unravels. the disease, but also unravels the solution, which, you know, early on in the book it says, you know, we're going to talk about God, you know, the last chapter that we just finished, you know, and knowing that I don't have the power, that there's someone out me, besides me, that is going to have the power, then, you know, I can't expect diseased thinking to go away in a year or 6 months or probably ever. But the big difference now is when I hear the disease speak, not auditory, let's clear that one up, I do the opposite direction. And I'm very grateful for that. And I'm, you know, going through the steps again because I always, always want to be a student of the big book. I will never arrive after, you know, just because I've been through a couple of times doesn't mean I can't go through it again and sponsor other people. But this past time, you know, I picked up a Diet Mountain Dew was my was my solution, and I'm very grateful to, you know, I don't have my crap together, you know, but someone does, and that's my higher power, and people like you are all sharing in the room, and you all collectively have a common bond of a solution. And with that, I'll pass. I'm glad this meeting's on at 10. God bless everybody.
Thank you, Jaren K. in New York, followed by next up is Kelly V. in New York.
Hi, this is Kelly B. as in boy from New York. Thank you. This paragraph reminds me of a phrase that my mother used to say to me. Well, still does. And she's very kind about it, but I would be talking about a problem that I was having, and I didn't really want a solution. I just wanted problem admiration, and I'd be talking about things that, you know, didn't work. And she would say to me, well, how's that working out for you? And there's an edge of sarcasm to it, sure. Like, yeah, how's that going for you? But also the reality of, is it reasonable to keep trying the same thing and it's not working, and then so I'm just going to try the same thing again. How's that working? It's not. And so I'm thinking about the bridge, and I may not know where the bridge is headed or what's going to be there, what it's going to look like, what I'm going to be asked to do, but I can tell you that what I'm leaving, whether it be maybe an island on fire or a boat that is sinking, in my case it was horrific binging and disgusting purging through laxatives and exercise, and it's just ugly. So I know what's behind me. And I know that that's not working. And so for me, the reasonableness of, well, I need to just start walking across this bridge because what's behind me is killing me. And that seems reasonable. I just have to try something new. And for me, the bridge is very broad and very welcoming. And I just have to do what the big book tells me to do. And that's it. And thank you so much for this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kelly B. in New York. And next up, I have Kate F. in Washington.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. This is Kate F., recovered compulsive overeater in Washington State. That's the image of bridges has just been flooding my mind with these shares, the thousands of bridges I have crossed in my lifetime, whether I was hiking or in a car, in a train or on a horse. I mean, all this method of conveyance from one place to another. The big, you know, cement hardy bridges, you know, built out of those very stirred girders that we read a few pages ago that we didn't understand how they were built. And I realize every time I even embark on my bridge, from my bridge of self-will and total reliance on my intellect towards the shore of faith, I'm already in faith because I wouldn't have stepped out. This one bridge comes to mind, of a very crickety suspension bridge over, you know, 1,000 feet above a forest floor. And boy, I didn't want to get on that bridge. But, you know, I kept walking towards because I could see the other end. And that's what my recovery feels like these days. Even every time I listen to Vision, all of you are the welcoming hands. And I realize I'm not alone on the bridge. God gave me reason to use. And I'm not going to lose that reason when I step off or step into the faith of the land ashore. My reason's going to have better use to serve out of love. So thank you for the opportunity to share today, and I pass.
Thank you, Kate F. in Washington, and it looks like we have time for one more share.
Vanessa G. in New Mexico.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
S. from New Mexico. Oh, sorry.
We just got time from Vanessa. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Thank you. My name is Vanessa G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. You know, one of the things that I like to point out to my sponsees when we get to this paragraph, and I hope it's helpful to somebody else also that might be on the line, that there's a big difference between faith and trust. And embracing the idea of faith at this point is just a willingness to believe, you know, just to believe that maybe something might work here, that we might be able to have what other people have in this program, the ability to not just put down the food, but the ability to live a life that's been transformed and is so much better by looking at other people. And trusting is a little bit different. It's trusting is what's going to get built through the process of the steps. We're going to find that we can rely upon a higher power. We don't have to do it right now. We just have to be willing to believe that maybe it could happen. For me, it was a big difference. And, you know, I just have to remember, you know, that there's a difference between faith and trust. Right now, I don't need any tangible proof. But after I get through the steps, I will have proof. I will know a higher power is working in my life. And I will have had a spiritual experience that's promised to me in this book, it's promised to me in the 12th step, that I will have had a spiritual experience. So for right now, you know, faith, for me at this point, it was just a willingness to try, a willingness to believe that maybe it worked for other people and maybe it could work for me too, but not fully putting my trust in anything that I couldn't see or experience. But by the end of the steps, I had experienced it. I have a God in my life today, and that God works through me and in me and has transformed me. It's an amazing process, the steps in this program, and I'm so grateful that this book and the people in this program have brought it to me. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Thank you, everyone, for sharing today. And thank you for Team Thursday. Okay, so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.